Welcome to Living in the Spirit podcast. I am so excited to be starting this season two with you all. You know, God has really transitioned and really shifted this whole entire podcast and this whole entire, all the topics and all the guests. I'm really excited for what the Lord is doing. So today's guest, I have Minister Prophetess Marisol on today, and first off, I saw some wonderful topics, like not topics, but just I saw some Facebook posts, and you know, we met through Facebook. So I was scrolling through Facebook and I saw some posts that she made, and I was just like, wow, I gotta get her on the show. So Miss Marisol, I want to talk to you today about, I know you have a book out, right?
Yes, I do. It's called Sex in the Church.
Wow. So, first off, that topic alone is extremely taboo. And not just, when I say taboo, I mean just unorthodox, and just kind of something that people don't really, you know, talk about. We're so driven to, you know, talk about the hype and, you know, kind of just a, what is those words called? Buzzwords. So talk to me about sex in the church. Talk to me about marriage, relationships, and how sex in the church, you know, first off, how this first came about. Like, you know, how did the Lord give this to you?
Well, I've been serving the Lord for 20 years.
Wow.
But even as a child, I knew of the Lord. I knew of his presence, even at a young age. I would pray to him. I would read my Bible.
Nice.
I would be the only one that would really pursue a relationship with him, and go to church by myself, even if my family didn't want to serve him. Mm. But for basically 20 years, because you know how many people, as a teenager, I experienced this. I would run to the altar and pray and boo-hoo, and then go right back to the same old thing, right?
Yeah.
So, with serving the Lord for 20 years, what I found is that I was still struggling with a spirit of lust. Mm. And my addiction was masturbation. And so, you know, many women, you know, you hear men do it, but they're like, a woman? Oh my gosh, like, she's talking about that? But let me tell you something, many women struggle in this area as well.
Yep.
And so when I finally gave my heart to the Lord 20 years ago, at that very moment, he took that addiction away from me. I never again did it after, but I was still stuck with this spirit of lust. I was still stuck with loneliness, with depression, like certain things I was still struggling with.
Yeah.
And so on this journey, I write about this, you know, in my book, and even being married, because I started dating my husband at the age of 17 years old. So we've been together for 22 years now.
Wow.
It's been a long time.
Yeah.
And then I was 10-year mark of our marriage. I stepped out on him emotionally, but he stepped out in the physical with another woman. Mm. So with that, and we're in church. Mm. He's a worship leader.
Wow.
A lot of these things.
Wow.
And so, you know, I go on this journey of healing. I go on this journey of, like, Lord, I need your help. I can't live like this. I know it's wrong. You know, I would feel the conviction, but I kept going back to, you know, wanting attention from men and different things like that. Mm. But my heart has always been to help people. My heart has always to see others be free. And so just about, I believe, like 3 years ago, I just felt such a burden because I operate in deliverance ministry. Mm-hmm. And inner healing and counseling and all that stuff. Mm. That's my true desire. My ministry, yeah. So about like 3 years ago, I felt the Lord a tugging in my heart to write a book about it. Mm. And it's not easy writing about this topic because, number one, it's very personal, it's very intimate.
Yes.
And number two, a lot afraid to talk about it. And, you know, and that's why I started coming up with my post. Like, if you're ashamed to say the word sex, if you're ashamed to discuss these things, that means that there's something that you still need healing from. And what I found is that so many people have suffered in silence. And because of, like I said, I do deliverance and counseling, so many people have come to me and expressed to me that they've been molested, they've been raped, they've experienced all these things, and that's the reason why they're still struggling in life. Mm. And so I was like, Lord, there's so many marriages that are suffering because of this, and they're still in the church. Mm. How many people are in the church and they're still struggling with masturbation, with lust, with sexual perversion, with cheating on their spouses, with secret, you know, meetings, all these things, even pastors, leaders, even with the congregations and choir members, all these things. And I'm like, Lord, I have a heart for purity. I have a heart to see people set free. And so I went on this journey of writing this book, and it's not only for, I would say, you know, single people, but it's for everyone. As long as you're 18 and over, because I do, you know, touch on a lot of different topics.
Yes.
But I do touch on arrested development, I touch on alcoholism, I talk on abuse, narcissism, how to escape those kinds of relationships. I talk about being single. I talk about the pureness of Adam and Eve and why God created sex. I talk about, you know, many different topics. Mm.
Wonderful. Wow. First off, your transparency is amazing. The magnitude of this calling on your life that the Lord has given you to discuss those various topics, you know, the things that people struggle with, it's really hard. And a lot of people don't want to come out and say anything. A lot of people, and that's why I chose to pursue, you know, Living in the Spirit podcast. And we're living in the Spirit, yes, but that doesn't mean we're perfect. It doesn't mean that we can never achieve perfection, because we can't. And we have the grace of God, which is so beautiful. And God has just been taking me on this journey of law versus grace, and looking at the depiction of law, the law, just throughout, not just the law of Moses, just laws that man created, laws that the church created, and versus God's grace. And doesn't mean God's grace is a excuse to sin, because it's not. We still need to have a level of purity, as you said. We still need to achieve a level of just staying holy before the Lord. But, you know, we can't leave Jesus out of the equation, because it is He who makes us holy. We share and partake in His holiness. We can't strive for it. And I think the moment we start striving for it in our own flesh, we start messing up. We start going backwards, and, you know, we just can't do that. So talk to me about, and first off, I love the transparency for you and your husband and things like that. You know, I touched on this lightly when I was talking to you about coming on to the show, but I went through a divorce. You know, my ex-husband, you know, he struggled with a lot of things, and we struggled, you know, privately. We mostly struggled privately, mostly him struggled. But I was struggling alone for a while. And so I went through a divorce just recently, and just kind of navigating the single season. And, you know, the Lord's just really exposing and just revealing just things and things, areas in my heart. And so talk to me about this lust and how people, first off, how it operates and how people can, you know, identify it in their life and just break free from it.
So, And that's a wonderful thing that you talk about your divorce. Just wants to say that real fast, because some people, again, consider that a taboo topic. Like, oh no, you're divorced? Like, you're shunned, you know? And that is not the heart of God.
Amen.
It's you know? Right.
Yep.
It's not. You know, oh my gosh. The word is so good, but what happens is people come continue to have his hand upon you.
Praise
God. So what I have seen in my life and many others is the door, there's certain doors that are open in your childhood.
Yeah.
So per se, in my life, it was being a young child at the age of, I would say, 7 years old. I found my parents' pornography books.
Okay.
I found my parents, porn videos and things like that. And me being a curious child, I'm looking and listen. The enemy don't care. He don't play fair.
No, no, he don't.
He sees, oh, that door's open. Oh, I'm coming right on in. Mm-hmm. Okay. And then that spirit of perversion, of lust, it's just an open door. And then what happened was I started, to touch myself and masturbate. And you got to understand that fantasy is linked to masturbation.
Yeah.
And so that opened the door to that. And then also my home was full of people with my great-grandmother, my brothers, my sister, my mom and dad. My father had alcoholic. My mom and dad both suffered with mental illness, and there was a lot of bickering, fighting going on in the home.
Sure.
It wasn't stable, right? And so for me, I found masturbating. I found this fantasy world an escape. And many a times we use lust, we use alcohol, we use, it could even be food. Hello. Mm. It could be any kind of addiction to escape the reality.
Yeah.
And so I found myself doing that. And little by little, everyone started leaving the home. My older brother left. My grandmother passed away.
Yeah.
My sister actually ran away from home with a man that was 10 years older than her. Mm. Got pregnant by him. Mm. And then my mom leaves the home.
Yeah.
And so now I'm feeling abandoned.
Yeah.
I'm feeling lost. I feel like no one loves me. Then we lose our home. And so I'm like, my goodness. And I'm trying to find love in other places. So now, at a young age, my body was well developed.
Yeah.
And so because of the lust that came in, and now I'm in fourth grade. Now I'm living with my dad in a studio apartment. Me and my brother sleep on the floor and trying to get by. And even at that young age, I wanted and seek the attention of men.
Wow. So when he was in fourth grade?
Mm-hmm. So that's
10 years old, maybe 9 or 10 years old. So I'm gonna stop right here just 1 second. I want to just clarify perversion, in lust for my viewers, for those who are listening. Perversion is perversion means twisted, a twisted form of. So when we talk in the form of sex, we speak of a twisted form of sex, meaning that it's uncommon or shouldn't be a young child getting exposed to sex, which that is that's perversion. The form of sex, it should be between husband and wife, and we understand that the enemy perverts that, AKA twist that, so that it can reflect other things, So you can keep going. I just wanted to clarify that for my viewers.
No, that's wonderful. And many people think of perversion, they might think of it in many different ways, but that's in a simple form.
Right.
You're just twisting it.
Twisting, yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yep. Right. And so, instead of me thinking that or knowing that my love comes from God,
right,
even though, I was raised Catholic and I was raised, I knew the word of God, but, not like that. It's just you're going, and that's it. But I always had a relationship with him. I did pray, and my Bible, and all those things. But at that young age, again, I allowed boys to touch me. I even at that age, started being curious and allowing, girls to touch me and these two other girls. And I didn't, it was weird because it's like, I knew what I was doing wrong, but then I didn't. It's like that clouded judgment or that confusion, Again, the enemy perverts change things and perverts things. Mm-hmm. And so, as I got older, I was just tossed back and forth from mom and dad. And so, because I didn't receive the love or the attention that I truly needed as a child, and parents, this is so important. If you fail to speak to your kids, if you fail to, if you neglect them, you know, we can all get busy. Listen, I'm busy. I'm a busy mama. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I always try my best to spend some quality time with my kids each and every day just to speak to them and teach them, you know, you don't hold secrets from mommy and daddy, even if we get, you know, a little upset. But teaching them that, because I didn't have that kind of relationship with my parents. You know, it was shut up. I don't want to hear you. Go to your room. I don't want to talk to you. Well, my way is always right. Basically, I didn't have a voice.
Yeah.
So many times I was muzzled. Mm. And so that's why I kept my secrets. I didn't tell my parents, you know, I need love. I need affection. I need a hug, something. You know, so as I got older, I think I was at the age of, oh my gosh, maybe 14 years old. I was in eighth grade, you know, I have sex for the first time.
Yeah.
And while that's happening, I'm like going insane in my mind.
Yeah.
Like literally fighting. And I'm like, no, this is not right. This is not good. Oh my gosh, God's going to come. He's going to rapture, you know, the rapture's going to happen. I'm going to let me know. I'm like, all these thoughts going in my mind. And I'm literally crying. And the guy does not care. He's like 8 years older than me, okay? Which shows, you know, what he's all about.
Right.
And crying, he's like, you'll be fine. You know, stop crying. There's no reason for you to be crying. Like, you know, just, you know, basically he wanted to get his way and forget about me. But being that young, it's like, okay, well, I'm here now, so I might as well, you know, you feel like I owe you something. Because when you're young and when you want to feel accepted, even that negative touch is something. And many women allow their guards to be down because they want to feel accepted.
Yeah.
How many of us have dated a guy knowing what they're doing or saying or how they're treating us is not right? Mm. But because we want that love and affection, we think that it's okay.
Yep.
And it's a codependent attitude, you know. It's codependency thinking. Oh well, I'll give you this attention because I'm going to receive love for you. But in reality, that love is really perverted. It's not true.
Jesus.
Right.
Yeah.
And so, how many of us have dated, you know, a man that, you know, pointing the finger at us and yelling and just being that gaslighting, that narcissist, you know. And many times, women that have struggled with feeling accepted, we think we're the fixer. We, you know, we could fix that guy, you know.
Yeah.
We'll just date him, you know.
but
it doesn't happen that way.
Mm. Yes, ma'am. Speak the truth.
Right. And so, you know, I started on this journey about, like I said, 20 years ago, I started dating my husband now, but we were dating really young, like 17 years old, but I still always wanted something better for my life. Even though I struggled and I did all those dumb decisions I made, I was still like, God, I love you, God, I need you to be by my side.
Right.
And it was crazy because, you know, like I said, I would go to church, I would go to the altar, I would pray, and I'm like still struggling with this love. I'm still struggling. But listen, when you open that door to sex, oh my gosh, it's hard to close that.
Yeah.
And then you open up yourself to all these sexual demons. So every time you sleep with a person, these sexually transmitted demons, because I talk about that, now they're inside, and then you wonder why you're a whole different person again. Now you wonder why you're acting like that person that you slept with, talking like them, and why you're so tied to them, and you try to break up with them, and you just keep on being drawn back, and your mind is just in a cloud, you know?
I want to go back to what you just said, because that was powerful. You said sexually transmitted, what did you call it?
Sexually transmitted demons, so STDs.
She actually transmitted demons, right? So you have that. You open yourself up, right? So say if someone has sex with someone, they start talking like them, acting like them, right? Because the soul is tied, right? So mm-hmm. they have a yoke. They are now yoked together through the soul. And let me remind our viewers, the soul is the mind, the will, and the emotions, right? So when your soul tied with someone, your mind is tied to them, right? Your emotions is tied to them. Your feelings, your thoughts is tied to them. And you begin to take up the likeness of that sexual partner instead of the likeness of Jesus, right? So I just wanted to touch on that. And also, if my viewers don't know what the stronghold of whoredoms are, there's a host of demons that are underneath it. Just like you have Leviathan, it's a stronghold. So underneath Leviathan, there are these little demons like, of course, anger. There's, of course, you know, pride. There's, you know, all those different mm-hmm. little things. So you have whoredoms, you have lust, you have those different, you have prostitution. You have a lot of different things that are tied to this strong man, right? Well, not a man, mm-hmm. but it's the strong one. This holds all right. together. So just to let my viewers know that when you open that door, and those doors are entry points so the enemy can gain access to your soul, the mind, the will, and the emotions. So powerful stuff is what you just said. I just wanted to let my viewers know that you can keep going, woman of God.
No, but that's awesome, and whoredoms and all those things, and people don't understand what happened. So you're in this soul tie now, and you're basically yoked to that person. Yeah. Not saying that you're equal, because many times we become unequal yoked. Yeah. But that's why the Word of God says it's for husband mm-hmm. and wife, mm-hmm. and to wait for marriage, because every time you sleep with a person, you're becoming one flesh. And so that's why God created Adam and Eve to perfectly join and fit together. Yeah. A woman and woman cannot have sex even though they try. Or a man and a man cannot have sex even though they try. Amen. Guess what? It just won't work.
It won't. Amen.
I write about that in my book, and some people feel like it's graphic because I say a penis and a vagina, but God created it.
That's
so
right.
It's not graphic.
Amen. Right.
You know, I teach my kids that's a vagina, that's a penis. You know, we don't call it a hoo hoo or a woo woo or whatever. You know, all those things.
Yes.
Because guess what? Then they're going to be embarrassed to talk about it.
Yes.
You know, and I want my kids to know the truth and know how God created us and know that, you know, eventually when they get older, you know, my daughter's so young. Mm-hmm. But my oldest, he's 18, so he knows that, you know. But, you know, a vagina and a penis fit perfectly together to reproduce and also for pleasure. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I talk about that, but it's when you become one, that's the thing. And even the Word of God says, you know, should I join together with a prostitute? Certainly not, because why? Now you become defiled, you know? Yeah. And now what happens is, because we're fornicating, we're becoming defiled. So we're defiling the temple of God, you know? But I talk about this in my book because there's so many people in the church that are struggling with lust, that are struggling with perversion, that are struggling with whoredoms, all these things, and they're silent because the church doesn't want to talk about it. Like whoredoms is real.
It is.
Harlotry is real. Listen, I was a harlot. I told people I was a little undercover hoe. Yep. You know, and that was my thing. I used my body as a weapon towards men. Mm-hmm. You know, showing everything that I had. Like, I didn't care. Why? Because I wanted the attention. And then I struggled with, you know, if I didn't, you know, have sex all the way, I would tease them. Well, then, you know, I'll give him the pleasure in a different way. Mm-hmm. Like it was something owed to them. Mm-hmm. But see, that's how perverted. Mm-hmm. You know, things get twisted. Mm-hmm. I don't owe that man nothing.
Right. Sure don't.
You know, like, when you're single and you're following the ways of the Lord, that's that's where you need to set up boundaries. That's where you need to actually spirit, okay, is this of you? What is happening right here? And discerning spirits is so important when you're dating. That was one thing I always prayed. I said, Lord, if this is not my husband, take him out of my life, because I don't want him. I'm not wasting my time, my will, my emotions, my all of this for somebody that's not going to be my husband.
Right. Amen to that. Amen.
Because it comes too much, Lord.
Yeah. It's so true. It's so true. You know, and especially women, on my first episode, I talked about relationships and dating, and just, I had a wonderful man of God on, and he was talking about just, you know, not even just being healed, but just making sure that, you know, as women, we're not fixing up a man. We're not, you know, and men need to make sure that they are, you know, we both come all the way. We both need to be healed before we you know, come into a relationship with someone. You know, we don't want to waste each other's time. You know, you don't want to waste someone's time. You know you need to have yourself together, your finances together. And together doesn't mean perfect. It means that you're able to maybe take care of someone, you know, especially if that's what you're after. You want to get married soon. So you probably don't want to date if you're not in a place where you could date. You know what I'm saying?
And I have a whole list of that in my book. Why you should not date right now.
Right. And most people, you know, pursue a woman, a good, you know, woman who she got herself together, she got her mind together, she's emotionally healed, but you're trying to pursue her and you don't have the money to pursue her. Look, just leave it alone. Just wait until you are ready financially, emotionally. Just wait.
Listen. There are so many men that are stuck in Arrested Development. Being busy playing these stupid little video games, okay?
Uh-oh.
And watching hours and hours of TV.
Uh-oh.
And not investing their time in the Word of God and building up their man with their finances, with knowing how to raise a whole household. Listen, that's one thing. Like, I talk to the men in my church. I don't play that game. I let them know.
Amen.
You. God called the man to be the man of the house, and women need to allow the man to become the man of the house. See, I was a very controlling woman. I was a little Jezebel, okay? I'll admit my own self.
Yeah.
I'm very transparent.
Yeah.
And the thing with me and my husband was, he was young. You know, we were both young, but I was raised by a mom that was very strong. You did what you had to do. You know what I mean? She was a single mom, and, you know, she dated a whole bunch of guys here and there and all that stuff. But, you know, my mom always worked hard, and that was one thing that I had instilled in me. At 16 years old, I'm working, and at 17, I got my own car, I got my insurance, I'm paying for all of this, and helping my mom with bills. Yeah. Like, I didn't play that. But with him, he was raised with his mom, single parent home. You know, he only had his dad for a few years when he was younger.
Yeah.
But, you know, his mom was very independent, but only taught him, oh, wash the dishes and throw away the trash. Well, guess what? We dating now?
Right.
Oh, no.
Right.
Just together.
Yeah.
I don't mind cooking for you. I don't mind cleaning. I don't mind doing any of that stuff. But we're going to learn to do this together. So
that's
it was a fight at the beginning.
That's right.
Lord have mercy. But I had to learn to tame my tongue. I had to learn to be patient and to know that he is not me, that he's going to do certain things differently than me. And so, you know, it took a long time to learn that. And it was funny because I would complain to God all the time, like, you put us together, and that's your son. You need to take care of him. Right? And God was like, you need to look at your own self.
Yeah.
And change your own self.
Yes, and that's the thing, you know, prayer changes us, you know, and then it changes the circumstances and things around us. But the prayer, when we pray, it changes us, it changes our heart, so we can learn how to handle and deal with people differently or better.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we learn how to handle them, you know, so we just, you know, give God praise and just give God glory, you know. But, you know, there's people who are struggling, you know, there's people who are just pastors who are struggling with pornography. photography, and they're still pastoring. Mm-hmm. You know, there's the, and that's the thing. That is the goal and the mission of Satan, is to keep things hidden, to keep things dark. But deliverance exposes that. Deliverance, it shines the light in the dark areas. And but that's what we're called to do as believers. Mm-hmm. We're not called to be perfect at all. We're called to shine the light in the darkness, to shine the light in the darkest crevices, and to bring healing with the power of Jesus. You know, with Him, we partner with Jesus, and He helps. He heals. He's the one that heals. He's the one that brings healing and deliverance and freedom. We are the we're just the vessels that God uses to bring deliverance, to bring healing, and to bring freedom. So, but you know, that's what God does. But you know, Satan does the same thing. Satan uses his power, his disgusting power, and his perversion to, you know, make darkness into, you know. So, but we just give God glory, because we're not ignorant to Satan's devices. We're not ignorant to what the enemy is doing. But we understand that it's okay, is, you know, identify where we're struggling, you know, admit that we're struggling, we have a problem.
Yes.
And
come on.
We can get healing from it, because I think the biggest problem is that when we don't admit that we have a problem. And here it is, I'm gonna be transparent too. Going through this process of when I went through my divorce, and you know, going through this transition of singleness, I had to submit, you know, the areas that I was struggling in. And what does that mean for my viewers? That meant that the areas where I was lusting, the areas where I was hurting, the areas that I had trauma in, that I was hiding abuse, that I was hiding, I had to submit that to the Lord. Even the season of singleness, I had to ask the Lord, Lord, I don't know how to walk this out. I don't know what it is to be single. I don't know what it looks like. So I had to ask the Lord, Holy Spirit, please help me walk this out. And God gives us grace for each season that we're going through. He gives us grace. And what that grace, there's two different kinds of grace. There's the unmerited grace, the grace we don't deserve, and there's that divine enablement that gives us the ability to pursue, to endure. So, you know, to carry our calling. So I had to submit that to the Lord and ask Him, help me walk this out, you know. And then the Holy Spirit just began to tell me, you know, what relationships were is good and which ones aren't. You know, who do I need to, you know, leave, and who, because God will shut the door. When you're submitted to Him, He will shut the door on certain people, and He will not allow that person to come next to you. You know,
He protects His children.
He protects us. He does.
He protects His children. And I often, you know, have said, because, you know, me and my husband lead a church. It's been 5 years.
Yes.
And every time I've said, Lord, expose it, guess what? He exposes it all.
Yes, He does.
And He shows the enemy's devices, or the sneakiness, or the backbiting, or the backstabbing, you know, all these things. Because if you're truly walking in His call and His purity and what He wants for you, He will protect you.
Yes, He will.
Especially when you're walking in the fear of the Lord.
Yes,
there's so many scriptures on that.
Mm-hmm. Yes, He will. Yes, He will. I mean, I can't tell you how many times the Lord, the Holy Spirit, just, you know, He really does, you know, in His word, He says that He will give you an escape. He will provide an escape. You know, the moment you know, someone wants to try to have sex with you and things like that, because, I mean, it happened to me, and God will, He provides an escape. All of a sudden, the person couldn't come, or say, oh, I can't make it, or, and I'm just, wow, you answered my prayer, and I didn't even know you were answering my prayer. I didn't even pray, you know, certain things, because, you know, God, He will surround me. Heavy fear of the Lord, He will put it on me. I will be so scared to do certain stuff, and I'm like, okay, I don't want to do that. So,
but that's where I you know, I teach on in my book to set those boundaries and be wise, and don't be left alone. If you know you cannot be trusted, hello, you know your own self. If you cannot be trusted, do not be, so you know, or wherever in the car, you know, you start getting all hot and heavy. But I tell people all the time, a penis does not fall into a vagina, okay? This is premeditated. You know how people say, oh, I fell into sin. You did not fall. It's just sin. I'm sorry. You did not fall there.
So funny. so funny.
You had to think about it. You had to fantasize. You had some kind of thoughts or something that you played on that you did not subject it to God.
Yeah.
You understand?
Yeah.
And so that was the same thing with me and my affair. My mind got so twisted, and you know the enemy, he loves to justify things. You know, oh, it's just this, it's just a conversation.
Yep.
It's just, you know, you guys are friends. Oh, it's okay. You know, you start doing all these things, and you know you feel that check.
Yep.
But guess what? You keep on going.
Yep.
Why?
Yep.
Because that flesh is weak.
Yeah.
But if you're not built up in the spirit, guess what? You're gonna fall.
Yep. Ooh,
and I can remember, you know, and this oh my gosh, the person, you know, knew my husband. We all had a relationship with each other, and because I was feeling lonely in my marriage. Hello, some people think that marriage is gonna heal everything.
Sure,
no,
it magnifies.
It sure
does.
Hello, Lord have mercy.
Yes.
And, you know, that's why I tell people, before you get married, please get deliverance and get counseling.
Said,
we did
what
it.
You said.
We would have gone through the hell we've been through if we did that. But it is what it is, right?
Amen, amen.
And so, you know, I can remember, you know, experiencing all these things. And I remember it was the final time that me and this guy were together. And when you said you find a way of escape, oh man, that just popped in my head real fast.
Yeah.
And so I had found out that my husband, you know, fully cheated on me. He had sex with another woman and all these things. And you know, he was being hard-headed at first and he didn't want to work things out. And I'm like, oh, okay, well, you know, now I got this dude, so, you know, I'm just going to go all out because I never, you know, kissed him or anything before that. So I'm like, well, now I don't even care. Which is so crazy because I love the Lord. I know God. I've experienced that. We were going to church.
That's good.
And so now I'm set up in this car with this guy, and we are about to kiss, okay? I never had another man touch my lips since I've been with my husband.
Right.
And lo and behold, this cop comes with his flashlight. Oh, God, what's happening?
Yeah.
I said, oh.
Yeah.
All right, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Yes. God does.
He gave me that way of escape.
Yes, he does.
We could have just and found another place.
Right.
But no. I knew that was God.
I knew that was God
saying, don't do it. You know, and from that day forward, we never spoke and we never did anything else after that. But. Yeah. That was something that the Lord, you know, came on through.
Yes.
Praise Jesus.
Praise the Lord.
You know?
Yes.
Yeah. And so we need to pay attention to those checks. We need to pay attention to our environment. We got to know that we cannot be driven by our emotions. We can't be driven. And oftentimes what happens is we allow our trauma to truly take precedent over our will and our emotions.
Mm.
And those traumas are an open door to the enemy as well. Again, the enemy don't play fair. He don't care.
Yep.
He knew I was abandoned.
Yep.
He knew I was rejected.
Yep.
He knew that my father was an alcoholic. He knew my dad would go on my face and get so drunk. And he would be like, oh, you're the reason why I drink. You remind me of your mom. You're stupid. You're fat. You're ugly. Mm-hmm. He would just say, like, the most horrible things to me. And I would be like, Lord, I need your help. I need your strength in this, and I wouldn't even know what to do, you know. But in seeking the Lord, in reading the Word, in even reading books, you know, we truly perish for the lack of knowledge, y'all.
Yes, we do.
If we're not reading our Word, and that's the thing. When I started beginning, I was like, oh well, you know, I really don't understand it. You know, we make all these 50 million excuses. I'm just so tired, or, you know, all these things. But I have to keep on pressing in and fighting against that.
Yeah.
And the more I learned about freedom, the more I learned about deliverance, the more I learned about how to hear the voice of God and to press into prayer. The more the Lord started revealing himself to me, revealing myself to my own, you know, crazy self, and knowing that I needed Jesus.
Yeah.
And I needed healing.
Yeah.
And the more that continued to happen, and I started to fall in love with the Lord.
Amen.
And I started to know who I was, what was my identity, because for so long I didn't know who I was.
Mm-hmm.
For so long I didn't understand why did God, you know, create it, why did God put me on this earth? Because I would look in the mirror, and no lie, I would tell myself, you're worthless,
mm.
you're stupid, you're fat, you don't belong here on this earth. I will plot how I will kill myself, and then who will show up at my funeral.
Mm.
Like, I was in deep, deep depression, and I would just, you know, suicide, like all these things, attempt all these things.
Mm.
But what I learned was the Lord showed me, wash yourself in the Word of God.
Mm.
You know, declare over yourself,
yeah.
put scripture all over, you know, your whole. And the more
yeah.
I started doing that, the more I started to know who I was.
Yeah.
And the more I forgave myself,
yeah.
I forgave God,
Amen.
I forgave those who hurt me.
Yeah.
And it's so important that we forgive, because if we don't forgive, what happens is we are left in a torment,
yeah.
okay? And Matthew 18, I think it's in Matthew 18, it talks about the unpardonable servant. And what happened was, you know, the king forgave him, but then he didn't forgive the other person that owed him the money.
The debt, yeah.
And mm-hmm. right, the debt. Right, and what happens at the end? He goes. Well, I'm gonna send you into the jail. I'm gonna release you to the tormentors,
right.
to the tormentors to be tormented.
Yep.
So basically, when we don't forgive, we're released to the enemy for him to torment us.
Yeah.
And many people don't know, understand it, and they're put in a prison. Of torment, of memory recall,
mm.
of bitterness, of anxiety,
mm.
of fear, and these soul ties that continue in a trap of other people,
mm.
Of what has happened to you in your past. And so basically that person has a hold over your life if you have not forgiven them.
Mm.
And
so
people get sick, physically sick,
so
okay? You people wonder why they have cancer. It's a proven research, okay?
Yeah.
That I forget how much percentage, I think maybe 30-something or 40-something percentage of cancer patients that are holding unforgiveness and bitterness.
Mm.
Bitterness is rotten to your body, okay? That's what
yeah.
it does. It's
yes.
right. It poisons
yep.
you.
Yep.
And so many
yep.
people don't understand
mm.
why they have arthritis,
yep.
why their bones
yep.
are aching and all this
yep.
stuff. It's because mm-hmm. of the unforgiveness
yes.
and the bitterness, and
yep.
then you're released to the
yep.
tormentors.
Yep. Mm. So good.
It's so
yep.
important
yep.
to forgive.
Yes.
And as I processed that, the more and more I knew who I was. I was no longer held to the image of what people said from my past,
mm-hmm.
but I was upheld by the Word of God and what God says in my life.
Wow.
I know that was a mouthful, but
wow. Woman of God, this broadcast is really going to help a lot of people. And the reason why it's going to help so many people is because, first off, we're being transparent. And second of all, deliverance is so amazing. It's available for the believer. It is the children's bread. And
mm-hmm.
the thing about deliverance is that we really have to be hungry for it.
Yes.
We have to want it. We have to.
Deliverance is for the desperate.
Yes. Woo! I was going to get
mm-hmm.
to it. Get the words out of my mouth. Deliverance is for the desperate. That's right. We can't want deliverance more for someone else. We gotta want it for them, and we have to want it for ourselves. And that's what I struggled with in my marriage. I was desperate for him to go through deliverance, and I was desperate for him and his calling, but he wasn't desperate for his calling. Oh my God. Let me leave that right there. But, so... God is so amazing, and he provides freedom for his children. He provides us a way of escape. The blood is available. It's for today. It's for you. It's for everybody
mm-hmm.
who is listening. The blood of Jesus does not make us perfect. It heals. It cleanses.
Mm-hmm.
It gives us a new, it puts us in a new creation.
Creation.
We are a new creation. Okay? And I made a note about this. We are not our past. We're not who we are. We're not
mm-hmm.
who we were. Okay, so a lot of people will try to bind us to our past, and you can know the difference if you are your past or if you're not your past. If you're making changes and your life is different, but you make a mistake, you slip up, and you sin. Let's say you have sex, and let's say you want to be free. There's prayers, there's deliverance, the blood of Jesus is available, the grace of God is available. There is a chance. God loves to see us begin the work. He loves to see us repent. He will never forgive and turn away a repentant soul, a repentant heart.
Absolutely.
He never does. Mm-hmm. It says it in his word. So if you're truly repentant and you truly want to change and you know, not just, you know, you're sick of sin cycles and sin bondage and you're sick of going circling that mountain, well, here's your opportunity. Here's your chance to just be free and take up the cross, take up Jesus, and take up the blood of Jesus and just, you know, and I actually wanted you to pray over our viewers, because this is actually going to air very, very, very soon. So just say a prayer for our listeners, those who are bound, who need help, who's trying but maybe can't, who maybe made a mistake, they slipped up, maybe they had sex, maybe they're really trying to make a reconcile, you know. Pray for them. What is Holy Spirit, you know, putting on your heart to pray for them?
Amen. One thing I want to tell people with deliverance, and I think if you grew up in the church, and you might be struggling with religion and things like that, I was actually having a conversation with somebody today how there's many Christians that feel like Christians can't have a demon.
Oh, yeah.
And it's been an ongoing battle, you know, back and forth. And listen, people could have what they want to have, okay? Number one.
Have what they want to have. Yep.
Number two, no one is perfect. No. We all have a story.
Yes.
And again, the enemy doesn't fight fair.
Yes.
So there's many generational curses, number one. That's why we're repeatedly in certain cycles. And number two is that it's not that a Christian is demonized. It's not that the Christian is possessed, okay? It's called demonized. They're in the position of the soul. So it's like a personality.
Yes.
And so if you find yourself, let's say, gluttony, because the church don't like talking about gluttony too, which everybody want to always eat and everything, right? Overeat.
Yeah.
And people, you know, people that are heavy set will say, oh, God created me like that. That's a lie. Listen, I'm a big girl, so I know I can talk about this, okay? Mm-hmm. And people shouldn't get offended, because I am. I've lost 40 pounds recently, but it took me to what? To discipline myself in eating. And you know where that door was open? Mm-hmm. It was open in my childhood because I went hungry. Okay, there were times when my mom was busy in the room doing drugs and Santeria. She did witchcraft and all these things with her friends, and I was sitting in the living room for hours by myself, hungry. And I was staying with my older brother, and he had many kids too, and they didn't have a lot of money. You know, there was times where we ate the same foods and all these things. When you grow up in poverty, this is what happens, right? So the spirit, it's a fear of starvation. Okay, right. And so what happens is you become, food becomes your idol, and you feel like you're not going to eat again, and so you stuff yourself with food. And then plus, if we're not raised with eating healthy foods, guess what? When we grow up, we're going to choose the same thing.
Yes.
And so we have to discipline ourselves to make the right choices. But what happens is, anyway, I'm just saying, what happens is this spirit that's inside drives us to eat, to overeat, to put things in our mouths that are unhealthy. And what happens is the enemy doesn't want our temple to be healthy.
Right.
And so what happens? We defile our bodies and we become unhealthy. That's why so many people have diabetes and certain things like that, because the enemy wants to kill us off very early. Okay?
Yeah.
That's number one.
Wow.
And number two, let's say lust or, you know, the sexual sins and all these things, what happens is, I need to fulfill this. Masturbation. What happens with masturbation? Listen, I was addicted from the age of 7 years old to 19 years old.
Wow.
It's in my book.
Yeah.
That was my addiction. I masturbated in church. I masturbated in school. I masturbated wherever I was. I didn't even have to touch myself. I knew how to get off on my own self, okay? That's how bad it was. And I would cry out to God, I'm like, I don't want this. But guess what happened? I kept on driving, and it was the spirit inside that drove me to do it, okay? So people say, well, I'm a Christian. Well, then why do you keep on sinning if you don't have no demons? Mm. Why do you keep on going through the same things over and over again if you don't have no demons? Okay, so that cancels that all out. And if God says that deliverance is the children's bread, that means it's for us. It's not for the world. Because if it's for the world, they're going to keep on going back to the same old thing. Mm-hmm. It's the children's bread because we know the word of God and we can maintain our deliverance. Huh. Okay?
Come on.
So, all that, okay? Amen. And you, yes, you can do self-deliverance. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. But I would recommend going to a person that operates in deliverance get freedom as well. Because there's certain demons, there's certain things that we cannot ourselves, okay? Because we don't have the authority to cast out. Mm. So I would say that.
So good.
Because I'm a deliverance minister myself, but guess what? I went somewhere get my deliverance.
That's right.
That's right. And I periodically still do self-deliverance. So I don't play that, okay?
Yes, yes.
We all need help.
That's right. We all do.
With that being said.
Amen. That's why it's there, and that's why deliverance is available for us, for the believers. So tell the viewers where you can where they can find your book, and also how you and your husband can be contacted, your church information.
Okay. So my name again is Marisa Acevedo, and you can find me on Facebook under that name. I do have a ministry page, so it's Marisa Acevedo Ministries. Mm-hmm. You can find my book at www.sexinthechurch.com. And you can purchase it, a physical copy, it's $20, but $5 for shipping and handling.
Nice.
And then you can buy it on a PDF form. $12.99 on the site.
Nice.
Also, our church is called Hub Violin, the Hub Violin on Facebook. And that's
awesome.
That's about it. And then I want to pray with you guys.
Yes, please.
I have a few prayers.
Yes.
In my book.
Please, yes.
I just want to encourage everyone who is listening to take this time right now and to search your heart.
Amen.
To really examine yourself, because many times we can be self-deceived and think that we are okay. We put on a mask and pretend like, you know, everything is perfect, everything's okay, especially in the church.
Ooh.
You know, we're good for that.
Come on.
Did you know that hypocrite means play actor?
Ooh.
That means a mask.
Play actor.
Okay.
I did not know that.
So, in other words, when Jesus was rebuking the Pharisees and Sadducees, that's what he was saying. Are you a play actor?
Mm.
You a hypocrite.
Mm.
You say all these things, but yet and still, you know, you're portraying your way to be this way, but you're not.
Right.
You know?
Yep.
Just people in the church, too. You could put a suit and tie, you could put the holly, you could do all these things, speak in tongues, but you still ugly inside.
Mm-hmm.
You need freedom and deliverance.
Amen. That's right. It is available for us.
And guess what? Everyone has a blind spot, okay? We all have something that we need to work on, that we're continually working on.
Yes.
But as long as we're doing it,
we
can't be in self-deception and think we're all perfect, because that's not how it works.
That's right.
So I would say this is a time of reflection. And as you're saying this prayer, if you are filled with the evidence of speaking in tongues, don't do it. Don't speak in tongues, because what happens is you want whatever it is that's inside of you to come out.
Mm.
So you don't want the Holy Spirit to be operating as those demons need to come out.
Mm.
It just doesn't operate that way.
Mm.
And they scientifically have proven when you're speaking in tongues, it's basically like your brain switches over.
Mm-hmm.
And they've shown all these studies anyway with that. So that being said, just examine yourselves and allow a Holy Spirit to minister to you.
Yeah, just receive. Just receive is what you're saying.
Yes.
Yes, just receive.
Right, just receive it.
Don't
and hear.
Yes, okay.
Right.
Amen.
And you can just you could repeat after me, or, you know, just hear it over and over again, just speak it out loud. Amen. And so this is prayers, a prayer for forgiveness.
Amen. Okay.
This is so important, okay? So it says, prayer for forgiveness. Father, I come before you today to ask you for forgiveness. Lord, I humble myself, my heart to you, and ask you that you would remove from me all evil spirits that I have let in by giving into lust, perversion, fornication, and adultery. I gave into my own evil desires and allowed the lust of the flesh to take over by watching or participating in sexual perversion. Lord, I ask right now that you bind and paralyze every sexual demon that is working in my life of lust, perversion, porn, masturbation, incubus, succubus, and fantasy, and any demon that entered in by generational curses. I ask that, Lord, you cut it at the root of where it began. Lord, thank you that they will remain permanently bound and closed off from my life and family bloodline. Lord, break any legal ground that my ancestors have agreed to or blood sacrifices they have made with the enemy. Destroy the connections over my mind, heart, stomach, mouth, tongue, ears, eyes, hands, and feet, and all sexual organs. Destroy all connections of any kind from soul ties. Lord, cancel out all the assignments of the enemy over my life. I thank you, Father, for your deliverance and freedom. I command anything that is not of you to leave my body now in the name of Jesus. I speak to my mind and body to be healed in the name of Jesus. Lord, forgive me that I have sinned against you and my own body, that I have allowed self-gratification to take over and not allowed you to satisfy my every need. Forgive me for being selfish. I command my mind and my heart to be healed and set free. I'm no longer a slave to sin. I will no longer be manipulated and controlled by sexual sin. I no longer will accept the lies of the enemy saying that I am unclean, dirty, or damaged goods. Forgive me for not being grounded in your word and believing in what it says, and I will stand on your word and I will not be shaken. I speak life over me, purify me, and fill me with peace and strength in my mind, will, and emotion. I thank you, Father, for setting me free from sexual perversion. The word says that when I confess my sins to you, you are faithful and you are just to forgive me. Lord, I will abide in you because you abide in me. May my heart burn for you again. May I never go back to my past. Move forward. Thank you for washing me clean and forgive me. Thank you for making my eyes and ear gates pure. Thank you for loving me and covering me with the blood. May I remain disciplined and set healthy boundaries in my life. I choose to accept your love. I will love myself and others in a godly way. I will accept myself and cause my body or others no harm. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Powerful, powerful prayer, woman of God. Thank you so much for being on the show. Thank you so much for that powerful prayer. I know there's so many people that has been set free as a result of this prayer. Hey, listen, you can follow Marisol on Facebook. You can follow her on Facebook, follow her husband, and also her church on Facebook. I will post the links underneath the video. Thank you, woman of God, for coming on. I bless you in the name of Jesus. Thank you so much.
Thank you.